Blog Talk Radio.
Prayer. Yeah.
Rashi. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Really appreciate having you here, Tashi, you know, because people need to feel culture. Even if they're not from our tribe, they need to feel their indigenous blood, their indigenous way. And if nobody's there to give it to them, you know, they're going to continue being American. So, you know, Lila Wopi La Tanka. I'm going to zip through some things, and then I was looking at this 86-year-old man. Some Washiki fired him from his job. He worked at that job for 31 years. So he asked the Washiki, you know, let me work for one more year. I got bills, you know, just give me one more year. You know, he worked there for 31 years, and Washiki raised him. So the guy whipped out a gun and killed the Washiki. So now the old guy, you know, he's sitting in the can, you know, but at 86 years old, you know, he'll live good the rest of his life. Three meals a day, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, Washiki, they like to have their toys and they don't know how to treat. And, you know, I'm not condoning what he did, killing the guy, but it's just something to remind the Washiki, their arrogant Washiki, that you got to watch out. You ain't bulletproof. These Washiki act like nothing can go wrong. That's what happens. I mean, look at last week. Washiki killed about how many people down there in San Jose? 12, 11,
eight,
something like eight. That. Or eight.
There's more dying because of what he did.
And it was over his job, you know. I heard the guy was making $120,000 a year. Griping about it, you know, but so he took it out, you know. People should, and he wasn't getting fired. He just was gonna be getting reviewed for being mouthy or something. But you know, I was looking at. They said 38,000 people. 38,658 people died in the U.S. You know, recently. You know, over the last year, just from guns alone. And in Japan, I don't have the info here, but you know, somebody might have seen it on Facebook or something. But Japan, only 10 people died in here. And you could say, well, the U.S. is way bigger than Japan. Japan, but Japan's got millions of people in that little country. And other countries, you know, in Europe, same way, you know. But what a thing to brag about, 38,000 murders or people killed with guns, you know. But people say it isn't the guns that kill, it's the people. But it's the people with the guns doing it. If they didn't have a gun, they wouldn't be doing it, you know. They don't know how to handle a gun. I mean, I should. my brother will probably say, you too. But, you know,
Crunchy's taking a break tonight. Crunchy's tired. Yeah, he's taking a break, so I'm on my own tonight. And I got a birthday party do here too. I got a birthday party, so I'll be with you for a few minutes, and I gotta go. My youngest boy is turning 22 now, Crunchy. My baby boy is 22. Yeah.
It's been that long, huh?
Yeah, you know,
and when he was I remember when he was a little baby, a little bitty, hands like boxing gloves.
Yeah, they're all, you know, kind of a, but I'll hang with you for a while, and we'll pay attention to him.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I understand. That's good, and, you know, happy birthday to him. Well, since you're only going to be here for a short time, you know, because we're going to we're in the process, you know, I hate to say it like that, but losing a medicine man. He's like 84, 85 years old. He's been with us on this earth. And people don't realize, you know, I mean, he's been criticized all his life for everything.
Yeah.
But everything you can say, you know, that he lived with gave him the wisdom he had.
Yeah.
And when I talked to him, you know, I'm glad last summer I spent a lot of time with him, you know. It was easy to communicate with him because there wasn't a lot of people around. And he's real brilliant man, you know. And he knows everything. He knows where every important Chanupa is, you know.
Yeah.
He knows everything, this guy. Not just, and knows about science, knows about astrology, everything. They're preparing. I was down there, they're getting the Sundance grounds ready down there at Kodok's Paradise. He's going to go out real traditional. I just hope that people... Go ahead, Josh.
You know, Tanshi, when you lose somebody like that, like the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the teachings, that all goes with him. And all these people that he's helped, or that was in their life some way, changed their life in some way, that's all gone. All that knowledge, everything that man knows, is going to be gone with him. Who's going to replace that? That's the question. See, as a matter of fact, once he's gone, we're down to two medicine men now, real medicine men. We're down to two. And I know there's four of them up and coming, but I don't know how well it's going to be or how long it's going to take those four to get into the groove of things. But they're young. And that's the thing, with knowledge like that, the teachings that man has, and what they could have learned, these four could have learned from that man, is not going to be there. The wisdom, the spirituality, like you said, the man was what you call, he used to say it himself, he learned from the university of the universe, which was the truth. That man spoke the truth when he said that. His teachings wasn't in the classroom or in a college or, you know, his teachings came from the creator and the university of the universe that he talks about is the world. All these things that the world possesses that man probably touched or seen some kind of way in his lifetime. That's what's going to be gone. And these people that had some kind of dealing with him or that knew him, like us guys, we personally knew him from the time he was young. Those are all going to be gone. You know, we can't go knock on his door and sit down and talk to him again, you know. And he was a real brilliant man. And you talk about American Indian movement. That man had it down. He knew what American Indian movement was about and what it stood for. So that man is going to be gone here in a short while. Hopefully, you know, me myself, I pray Tsongkhapa gives him a couple more years on earth, you know, but I don't know if it's possible. You know, his body's tired. But that man and his teachings and all the things that he cared for, he cared about, and he cared with, that's going to be gone. We're going to lose that. And who's going to replace that? How many people out there are like him? How many people could say they did what he did? How many people could say, you know, I did this and did that for the people? He's probably one of all these. Look around. How many of these people that use him, use his name to try to be somebody? It's going to be gone. And I know there's a lot of people out there that misuse him, that say things about him and stuff. We personally knew him. We grew up with him. We knew what he was like. And like I say, the wisdom, the understanding, the teachings that man had. Me, myself, I cherished every moment that I had with him. Because he was not only my relation, he was like a brother to me. And a lot of people don't know that Two Dogs and Crow Dog, we come from the same family, and that's going to be gone. It's going to be a big loss for us because he's one of what three men that I know of that were real medicine men. So when he's gone, there's only going to be two real ones. All these other ones playing around with it, saying they're this and that, doing this, you know. He was one of the original ones. He was one of the real ones that grew up the old way, the old Lakota way. That's not going to be here no more. And the teachings that man had, that's not going to be with anybody else anymore. That's going to go with him. Who's going to replace that? It's going to be a while. These young ones that are coming up that are doing it right. Look at our language. That man spoke good Lakota. He understood a lot of things in Lakota. He could explain a lot of things to you in Lakota. Sometimes he couldn't do it in English, but the Lakota speakers understood him. We knew who he was. That man's Lakota and all his teachings, the language, all of that's gone. Most importantly is that language that he had. The universe that he taught is not going to be there anymore. And that language, like I always tell people, is the foundation of who we are. Lakota is a language. And he could have told you that. That's the thing that's going to be missing. One more Lakota, a good teacher, a person that cared, a person that had tried to help where he could. That's going to be gone now. So the
law. Can you imagine when I was young, back in the 50s, of course, and then later on when I went, you know, I remember his dad, you know, his dad was from back in the 1800s,
yeah,
you know, and what he gifted Leonard was raised with this man's teachings who came from the 1800s. And Leonard's grandpa, you know, who came from beyond that.
Yep.
Nobody's raised this way anymore, you know.
Yep.
My grandpa, My grandpa was born in 1800s, you know, late 1800s, and so was my grandma. And I was lucky to have known them and hear things they said, you know. And it's just the things, what he learned, that no medicine man in this day and time that's learning is going to be gifted with something that came back from so long, that came from so long ago. You know what I mean? From so long ago. His education comes from way back beyond, you know, way back. And that's why it's so brilliant, you know. So he was a gift, you know. And these medicine men are gifts. And, you know, even you, Tashi, you know, these people that tune into us and listen, you know, they don't realize, you know, the gift they're receiving just from your knowledge, you know, from your traditional cultural upbringing, you know. So losing Leonard is going to be something, you know. And, go on. Keep, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
You know, these like I was saying, this man, it's going to be one of the greatest losses to the Lakota people, not only Lakota people, but all Indian people in the United States, because he went all over. And he wasn't afraid. You know, one time he put up a eagle head and some wings and a tail, and he sang a song, and it started flying right out in the middle of all these people. And the eagle started flying around, started screeching, flew around. And as he ended the song, it landed. He did this in broad daylight. After it was over with, even Indian people said it was witchcraft. What he wanted people to understand was that there was a gift on this earth that us Indians possessed. And we still had that. And that's what he was trying to tell these people. But yet even our own people considered it witchcraft. I started laughing because he could do these things. But yet people looked at him in a negative light. Washichus. Washichus looked at him as evil. We didn't look at him that way because we knew who he was and we knew what he was. And some of the things that man did blew people's minds. And the education that he was trying to give them, like I say, they called him evil. They called him a witch or all these bad things. Instead of looking at somebody that performed like Jesus Christ did back in his time. Jesus Christ was gifted to the white people in that way, or whoever Jesus Christ was. But yet they feared him and they killed him. When they had him in prison, all these cops, even the warden, said they feared that man. For what? For who he was? He was a common man. He was XJ Chasha, but he was gifted with him. That man had three altars. He had his grandfather's, his father's, and his. That man his altar comes from way back. And these are the things that are going to be gone when he leaves. So those of you people that knew him and that tried to understand who he was, I appreciate that. And those of you that didn't understand him and tried to take something from him or get something from him to be some, you know, you guys got to rethink your situation. The man was a humble person, and he was a gifted person, and we're going to be missing that. We're going to miss that a lot because that's gone now. Look at the story I was just telling you about. There's things like that he did in front of people, and yet people looked at him negatively. The people that didn't understand him, we understood him. We loved him. He was a part of us. He was us. And he tried to tell the people, we could do this together, Lakotas, all the Indians, we could do this together, but we got to do it by who we are, not by who we want to be or what we want to be. If you're Lakota, you're going to die Lakota. If you're Apache, you're going to die Apache. Those things that man taught these people. Look at his sun dances all over the place. A lot of people wouldn't have these sun dances if it wasn't for Leonard Crowdell. When he dies, he takes all that with him. Because that stops there. Because that's where it ends. That's where his journey, that's where his life ends. So a lot of these things that that man taught is not going to be around anymore. That's the loss that we feel. That's the loss that we know. Us that knew him and grew up with him, that's what we know about him. That's what we're going to miss. We're going to miss the person. We're going to miss the relative that he really was. He was our relation, and we respect him, and we lived with him that way. A lot of times, he was a common man, and he wanted to be treated like that. But people were trying to treat him as a god or something special. He never liked that. He wanted to be a common man just like everybody else, but he was a gifted man. And like I say, that's one person I know that has three altars. He had his grandfather's, his father's, and his. So the teachings that man had, like Kanshi said, it goes way back. It goes way back. That's what we're going to be missing here. That's what's going to be gone. Where can we get that again? We're not going to get that anywhere again. He was one of a kind. And that medicine man, the so-called Leonard Crowdell, the medicine man, affected a lot of lives, touched a lot of people. But someday it's going to, like I say, if we have somebody like that again, it'll be a miracle. You know, as of now, like I say, we're done. After he's gone, we're down to two real medicine men. And he's going to be a great loss to us and his teachings. How many people learned from him? How many people has he taught? I know he was looking for somebody to take his altar on. But I don't know if you ever found that person. And that's the problem. A lot of these people that... He wanted his relations to help him. But in the end, he was standing alone. And that's the thing with these people. See, they're misunderstood. And even his own relation misunderstand him. So I don't know if anybody's going to be there to carry on what he was doing, or if that's the end of those three altars that he had. Because that, to me, that was important. Because the communications that he had and the teachings that he had went beyond anything that people could comprehend today. No Washitu, no other race could give you that. He could have, and he did in his lifetime. And he stood that way. He lived that way. That man never did go to school. But yet, look at all the things the man knew. He never went to Washitu school. He never did that. He was a traditional person. So you talk about traditional. The man, what he learned, knew in English, he learned as he went along. He learned these words. He was a very intelligent, he was a brilliant man. And those three altars are going to be gone, and the education that comes with it. And to me, it's one of the Lakota's greatest losses again. So the people of today better get themselves together and really understand what that man was trying to do, even with the American Indian movement. When he used to say, we got to do this together, we got to stand together, that man was telling you guys something. Not everybody is gifted like he is. Not everybody could do what that man did. I know there's a lot of people out there pretending, but that man lived it. He lived it. And that's what we're going to be missing. See, the life that man lived with us is not going to be anymore. What are people going to do?
Plus, bless all the people that used him all these years, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When he's gone, all the, you know, a lot of Washichi, them cults and masses and stuff that happen, you know, they don't have him there. And, you know, they used him, you know.
Yeah.
They can't use him no more. And right now, they're, you know, it's a shame. You know, like you said, we have young people. In the past, we lost these great men, you know, like Fool's Crow and all of them. And Jennifer's father, Wallace, and all these people we lost back in the day. And then each time we lost somebody, we was holding on to a couple that were left. And Leonard was one of them, you know.
Yeah.
And now he's gone, you know. And it's down to, like you said, young people. You know, we have to rely on the young people and hope they pull through, you know. Jennifer said her kids are taken this way. And, you know, and a couple other ones on the rest. The thing is, you know, we can pray and hope they can handle this big task and pray that it happens and that they get guidance from Wakantaka, because they can't get it from Lexi no more. So they can only get it from Wakantaka, from his guidance, from praying and getting further and deeper and getting some guidance from a lot of these. But, you know, I feel bad for a lot of people because this way is really hard, you know. It's really, really hard, you know. You know, when you live this way, you're every day, you know, having to light a sweat lodge, having to make shuka, having to do all this stuff. And there's no prestige there, you know. It's hard work. It's hard work doing this stuff. It's hard work behind the scenes that nobody knows. Yeah, somebody can show up and do something when everybody's looking and look good. But, you know, try being out there in 30 below zero, cooking shunka, going into a iniki, you know, keeping fire going and stuff like that, you know. Try doing that. You know, normal person say, man, it's too cold, man. Can't do that, you know. Can't we do it tomorrow, you know. And, no, we do it. When it's supposed to be done. And it's just like the perfect time to hum blessa. You don't get to choose how it's going to be up there on hum blessa. You don't get all these choices. Unless, of course, you're over there one of those cults, you know. But in our way, it's not like that. And everything is difficult. And Lexi Leonard lived a difficult life. I seen him. You know, he was never rich. People thought he was. You know, I seen him all year long. People only seen him at sundance. I seen him in the middle of the year, you know, driving in res bonds, you know, living in an old trailer house, wearing, you know, rough clothes and stuff like that, you know. And when he went out that circle, people they didn't even know that was him. Because he went out with a simple hip wrap and that's all he had. He went out there at his feathers, his hair, he wasn't showing off. And right behind him was all these guys, all these wapa, and all these guys that paid him for dreams and all this stuff, yep. You know, cry to them.
Yep.
They didn't pay, they cried. That's how they got from them, because these medicine men are humble people. And
yep.
And when they cry to him, he pities them. So he lets them, okay, go ahead, you know.
Yep.
Just like a parent yep. letting their kid get stuff, you know. But people take that in a bad way or in a wrong way, you know.
They misuse it.
Yeah.
They misuse it. And like I was saying, that's going to be all gone when he passes away. All the stuff that he put out there, it stops there. When he's gone, it's gone. You know, there's nothing, there's no way to bring him back to life. But the knowledge, the understanding, these things that he taught, I hope some people picked it up and learned the right way and do the right thing instead of trying to play medicine man and be holier than thou, you know. That's not how this Lakota way works. Remember, you have to be blood in order to be one of those medicine men. It comes from the bloodline. It doesn't come from people, somebody handing it to you. A bloodline is real important in the Lakota way, and that language is who we are. That's who we are, Lakota. Nakota, Dakota, Cheyenne, Arapaho. Those are languages. But yet, look at us today. We don't even allow majority of these medicine men don't even speak their language, and they claim to be medicine men. I wonder about that.
And even
my brother Leonard there, he used to say that Lakota on speech in Chapo, hey, we're gonna talk to Glenna Young, hello. That's what he used to say. Learn to speak your language, because the language is what makes these things run. That was what is teaching them. And
remember
all these people.
Remember those fake guys? They say, "Oh, well, Waka Taka gets here. He knows every language, so you know, you don't need to. If you can't talk it, he still hears you. You know." Of course he hears you. But the point is, he ain't gonna hear you if you're doing a ceremony when you're talking
yep.
English, and just because you think you got power, you know, you ain't having a ceremony. It's like having those sun dances. How many sun dances do the spirits show up to out there?
Yep.
You know, how many? You
yep.
know, when you're doing a sun dance and you're doing it wrong, ain't no spirits gonna show up out there. You know?
Yep.
You know, you're putting a show on for your audience out there. But these guys, when they do sun dance ceremonies, the spirits show up, because I seen it.
Yep.
I seen what Washita would call magic. I seen it.
Yeah.
You know. I seen
well,
it.
Yeah. You know, that's what I was telling you. When he did that, a lot of these people said, oh, that's witchcraft. Or that's all this, you know. And I mean, some of our own people, you know, and it surprised the shit out of me, because I thought people had a more open mind. But yet, when they seen that, they thought he was doing something wrong. No, he wasn't doing nothing wrong. He was just showing people what power of the university of the universe was all about. The spirituality that these Lakota people carried, that these indigenous people carried, that's what he was showing people. It wasn't a bad thing. But yet,
yeah,
remember
that time we were at Initi below the cabin and here this big ball of light went up around that hill there by the cabin.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody, all of us watched it, and the fence line started sparking, and this
yeah.
big ball, sphere of light went around, and everybody's looking at it. Wow. And nobody got scared of it. They watched it. Remember, it went
yeah.
around, and boom, it turned
yeah.
into a Lakota on a horse riding the other way. You know?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, and how could all 40, 50 of us see that happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. But watch Jesus talk about miracles. That man performed them every day, you know. But yet, this is how pitiful he is. He couldn't use it on himself. He couldn't do it to himself because that's not how this stuff works.
Yeah.
He was a very pitiful man. He was a very humble man. And it's something to think about because he carried that for the people. It wasn't for himself. He was an honorable man. He was a good man. When he's gone, just think of how much stuff he's gonna take with him. All these people using him, they can't do that anymore. You know, that's the thing. That's what it is. He takes everything with him because those were his. So
That's why I'm glad we're using this show, this AIM radio show, to bring this knowledge out. No other show is going to have this kind of knowledge, you know, because they can't say Wimber's making it up or Wombly's making it up, you know, because we've been there and we have the language, we have the culture, you know.
Yeah.
And we're not rich, you know. We run around raggedy and all that all the time, you know. We're not trying to show off and all that. And that's how we are. But this radio show here, we have listeners from all over the world tuned in. And they listen to this type of topic. And I'm glad we're talking about it. And I hope next week we're not talking about how he's gone. But if he leaves this week, you know, of course we're going to be sad and we'll be talking, going through a lot of things, memories of him again. And one thing I know about him, you know, in these medicine labs, did you ever see how they treat the children? You know, no matter what scenarios around them, if a child shows up, they drop everything and put their attention to that child. You know, when he met my daughter, I said, yeah, this is my daughter. Right away, called her over and, you know, right away, you know. Yeah. And even like my son, he's in sweat lodge with my son and knows my son. And he has this, these guys have this compassion for children. I never seen no Washichu have this kind of compassion for children. They only have compassion for their children and that's it. You know,
especially speaking of kids, you know, look at what they did to those 215. They hit them. After they killed them, they hit them, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just now finding out about it. That's what the Washichu does.
They were 5 and 6 year old kids.
Yep.
They were babies.
And you know, that ain't
the first time. There was always digging up bones at these places. They checked under St. Francis and Red Cloud. They probably find some there, you know.
Heck yeah. I know they will.
They were wicked to our children. You know, I know how wicked they were to me. I've been through some of the stuff they've been through me. And people, you know, if I talk about it, they think it's baloney.
Yeah.
It's not baloney.
It's the truth.
I went through that. You know, I went through that, the punishment they gave me, you know, because we have a different character than them. And the other thing is, you know, we don't jump, you know, like they expect us to, like everybody else does for them. And when we don't jump, we get a ruler across our face, a ruler across our hands, if we don't jump, you know, because that's their society. That's why they have generals. That's why they have lieutenants, generals, and all that. Everybody has to jump, you know, has to shit and tell them what color and how big, you know. That's their society. And we don't have that. We let our children take their time. Being a child is the shortest time of your life. So we give our children as long as it needs to take for them to, you know, to live. I mean, I didn't care if my son was nursing when he was 3 or 4 years old. I didn't care. I didn't care if my son didn't walk till he is 18 months old. My daughter, the older one, she didn't walk till she was 18 months old. And my younger son walked when he was 8 months old. But it didn't make him a better, smarter than my daughter. My daughter's smarter than all of them, you know. You know, and these children, don't have no compassion.
Yeah, that's country. That's why we call them Wakan Yeza. Wakan, they're sacred. They're gifted to us, you know. That's why they call them Wakan Yeza. They're sacred when they're at that, when they're from the time they're born up to a certain time in their life. That Wakan, they carry that with them. And the Washitos don't understand that, and they never did. That's why they did what they did to us, because they wanted to call us heathens. So who's the heathen now? The proof is starting to come on now, who the real heathen is, you know. And they still deny it. That's the problem. See, they don't want to look at themselves. Look at the biggest terror in the world is the United States. Washitos, you know, all Washitos. A lot of these people never did nothing to the Indian, but yet these white Americans, so-called people that floated in on a ship here, are the most terrible people on earth, still to this day.
They're talking about the Tulsa riot. They killed a bunch of Washitu, like 5 or 6 of them. Washitu marched into a little black community and just started killing people, 300-something of them, you know. And, you know, Biden now is all sympathetic for it. But look at what they did to us at Wounded Knee. Look what Sand Creek did. And then look how they marched all these Cherokees across the country to Oklahoma. Yep. Look at all the stuff they did and the genocide. There was 300 million Indians in this country when Columbus showed up. Now they only acknowledge 5 million of us, you know? And then the rest of them, those ones that call themselves Mexican and all that, they don't even know what the hell they are, you know. There was an Indian girl on a public radio singing a song. And at the end of the song, she sang in Spanish. And she said, that's for our people down south, Mexico. I said, well, that in my brain, that's like speaking English, you know. You know, when you speak Spanish, that's a European language. But they don't see it, you know. And then they want to talk for us. They want to be the speakers on public radio, on all those TV shows, and out in the books, you know, and us. And when they write a book for us, they change it all up, switch it up, you know. They're still slandering our culture, even in movies and everything, you know, even Dances with Wolves, even Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, all the stuff they did.
All right. Hey, Kanshi, I gotta pretend to this party, so I'll be back on after things settle down here.
Okay, don't get too drunk.
I'll be back on. I gotta.
All right,
I'll come back on. All right, Akala.
Philip and Jennifer, you guys have been on all this time, and I know you assist.
Yeah, I know. I was listening and learning.
I was wondering how Jennifer thinks about it.
Good evening. I will.
Go ahead.
Yeah. In light of Uncle Lexi Leonard, I cherish the time that whatever I witnessed in the power of the Creator that he was gifted with. And I seen something at Sundance that was what the white people might call miraculous. But those of us that know the Chinupa, it will always remain powerful. And those of us that understand, it's up to us how we carry on that legacy of what uncle or my dad or the other ones. And I mean, really, the ones that have really, truly listened and not just talk about it, but live their life, get up in the mornings and smudge and offer some tobacco or whatever. And, you know, these things, all of it, it all depends on how wide we make our road or how narrow, meaning how little or how big we put our efforts into this way of life. Some of us are what we consider hardcore and going to ceremonies in the wind and the rain and sun and heat. And some of us, you know, some people, it seems like they want to be pampered and wait till the sun comes out before they'll go to a sweat or something. And there's a lot of different, to me, of understandings, because when we lost our dad, it was pretty heavy on the heart to have him gone physically. But through the ceremonies, after the ceremonies, we were very fortunate to get to know that he came to our ceremonies at his own volition. And that's something unique that we have as medicine families. And, you know, I hear people thinking that we've lost things, but there are some things that this younger generations, I know several medicine men that still exist. And three of them are in one family that I know. They're three brothers that carry on the altar. And I know Lexi had someone that was listening to him. I've been to those ceremonies. And so I don't really feel like we're totally losing everything, because I also know that the spirits have said that my son even will be bringing back something that was lost, and that can happen. And every day they say that my dad, comes and visits us. And sometimes I feel his presence and sometimes I don't. Sometimes he comes in a dream with a song. I've heard him sing to me a song. And he showed me something here and there. And he comes and he takes the hands of my grandchildren and takes them into the spirit world and shows them things. So to me, what I had to really learn was not from my father, but when my brother died. One of my brothers died a long time ago, about 25 years ago. I was told not to grieve in the way where to make him sad or cry, but to honor him and to understand that we gained something, like a spiritual, some white people call it guardian angel. So I had to transfer that grief when I lost my dad into somewhat like that. But it's always hard to lose a parent, no matter how old. But we got that promotion, whether we liked it or not, my cousins and I, when we lost 7 elders in 1 year. 1 year we lost our great-grandma and uncles and everything. And it left us not abandoned, but we went up on the hill still, and we got to hear him. Some of the relatives got to hear Auntie still, Auntie Lydia. So these things are sacred. They do exist, gone into the spirit world. Nothing gets obliterated. Who knows, you know, because to me, that seventh generation that is here, they've been prophesized, and there are elders there, but we don't look at them as elders. People think that an elder has to be someone old, but I don't even look at all the old people as being wise. Myself, I learn more from my kids sometimes, and there are people that I just feel like go to ceremonies. As long as we know how to pray, as long as we know how to offer tobacco, even just a little pinch on the ground, our ancestors hear us, and the spirits will answer our prayers. And it doesn't have to be all the whistles and bells. I mean, things can happen in the way that our mindsets, even if they believe in that Jesus, it's not really Jesus that's doing it. It's really their mindset in the way that they're manifesting and talking to the universe. That's what's really going on. And these tools, the Chinupa and Stone people, and, you know, they're the ancient ones. They will continue. They've always been here. And I know that there's been medicine men that have talked to spirits that watched this universe born. So there's a lot of depth in stuff that white men, they really try to banish our ceremonies and all these things, but we've always managed to survive. Generations after generations, we're still here. Dad said that we're 19 generations of knowledge and wisdom, and that's just his generation. So I'm the 20th, and my kids are the 21st. So we carry that wisdom way back there. That's not going anywhere. That's for us to tap into still. So that's the understandings and teachings. I try to encourage people on my Facebook of what I had written this past week. You know, Uncle's weary. He's put in his time. He fulfilled his commitment or his covenant with the Creator. And it's his time to go. It's his time to go. And I feel like he has every confidence in us carrying on. I know I do. I have every confidence that my children and my great-grandchildren are going to keep going to sweats with or without me. And if anything, we'll be reunited when we go into house ceremonies. I think like that. I also think when people die, I think it's selfish sometimes for us to think that we're the ones being abandoned, when I know Dad had mentioned in a ceremony one time that he didn't want to leave. So they go so when they turn into spirits, they go through a grieving process as well. And I think people overlook that grieving process, that they too have to make an adjustment from the being in a physical body and being with us in a physical form. But they will always be with us in a spiritual sense. So take heart, people, and you know, celebrate. Celebrate we had this beautiful spirit with us. And that's all I can really say at the moment.
Well, you know, yeah, you said some really important stuff for people to hear, because a lot of it is true. And, you know, of course, you know, when Lexi leaves, you know, life's going to go on. And of course, I don't want to be selfish that he, you know, when he's Kuja, to have a Kuja, you know, a Shichi way, you know, have him suffering, you know. And he's been around 84, 85 years now. So I appreciate that. And I know that, like I said, when Member was on, the only way that our people could learn, these young people, the only way they're going to do it and catch on what they missed out with these older people, you know, that left Fool's Crow, Leonard Goes, and many others, your dad, and all of that left. The only way we're going to be able to sustain is to pray and stick to our culture, and then Wakantaka give us our guidance, lead us in our dreams that we have. Because, you know, there's nobody there to, it's just like when I was taught how to do shunka, you know, and I'm not going to go in that too much on the radio here, but an old guy gave me this knowledge, and I watch young people, they're sloppy, they don't care. I seen them drop the head on the ground and the sword back in the pot and go out in the circle. I see so much stuff, and that's what Member's talking about. We see so much immaturity. It's hard to find young people that are going to go all the way and learn. But the reason why these guys and these medicine men got their power and their knowledge and abilities is from living it, always praying, always remembering who gave us this day, you know, who's blessing us this day. If we don't live that way, you know, I have a bro, you know, that one time in the ceremony, they were these helpers, Sundance helpers, were snitching on me and him, said, we don't carry the chanupa, right, and we're doing this and that, blah, 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 because they're doing it right, you know. We're not doing it right. And then when the spirits came, they said, these two are the only ones doing it right, you know.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know, they don't know how we live. They don't know that my bro, the one they talk about, that when I got out of prison, he used to take me up there in the Black Hills and we'd feed the spirits. We did all this stuff, and he still does that. He wakes up, he gives a, you know, puts food in a prayer to pray with, you know. He gives the spirits every day. You know, feed the spirits every day. You know, of course, he don't look like it when you see him down the street. You know, and he's had some hard times. He fell off the wagon, and so I support him. I never did fall off the wagon or none of that stuff. You know, so, but still, I understand he has a dream. And I learned so much from him, and he don't want to be a medicine man. This guy don't want to be. They asked him. I was in the ceremony, and they asked him if he wanted to be a medicine man. And, you know, he said, four rounds in a sweat lodge is too much for me. So gosh, you know. And he's serious, and I understand that. Even four rounds in Anipis, a monster for me sometimes, you know. And but we have to live with this culture, and we have to pray that our young people really continue and really try hard to live every day as they can. If they're planning on leading, if they're planning on walking this way, you know, they need to work hard at it. Because, yeah, there are more medicine men out there. There are more. But when you talk to, like, myself or Vimber or other people, we don't know these others that calling themselves medicine men. We don't know them. We only know the ones we know. We don't know these other ones. So how can, you know, so it's hard for me to say, yeah, this guy's a medicine man and he's coming up and blah, 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 because I don't know him. I haven't seen it. And when I see it, it's different. But right now, you know, it's like saying Leonard was the only one that ever lived. He's not, you know. But he's somebody that in this day and age I learned from and our people learned from. And these are Lakota speakers. They're traditional people, just like my mother. My mother was no medicine woman, but she carried the culture. My grandma, all day long, she used to sing Lakota songs and beat. I used to sit there with her. And her sister was Crow Dog's mother, you know. And that's the kind of life they live from day one to the time they left. And in these modern times, days and times, we have so much influence from the outside. We have so much corruption from the outside. It's hard for us to say, yeah, this guy's going to be like that guy, or this guy's going to take that one's place, because he's never going to take that guy's place. We hope and pray that these new ones coming up can provide for us and provide for our people. And that's the point that we're getting at. In order for them to provide for it, they need to take it serious and hone in on everything, every song. You know, there are songs Crow Dog sang that another medicine man don't know. There are songs another medicine man sang that Crow Dog don't know. You know, it's so deep this way. We're always learning. And I appreciate, you know, why you say, Jennifer, because it's true. You know, death is something to feel bad about. But also, death is another step. We're going there. We're all going there. You know? And we work hard to give what we can to our children. I have some children that don't even look this way. They're out there living in the Washita world. I can't help them, you know. But my younger ones do go to sweat. They do still live this way. And they do work on the language. They do work on these things. And it would be a great honor for me to see one of them, you know, become somebody special in their life in this way. You know? And I'm glad that my younger ones did have the opportunity to know Leonard and know these medicine men and know Russell Means, know these AIM leaders, you know? I'm glad that they got a chance to do this, you know? And I really appreciate it. But, you know, we also have many family members that have totally lost their culture. And the more, there's some young medicine men over here that I had great hopes for, training them really good, and then all of a sudden, one day they get up, they're tired of it, and go the other way. Smoking pot, start, you know. The bad thing about men, you know, I have more hopes in women than I do men. Men, all it takes is a woman, and you're gone, you know. And if you don't have the right mind, you can lose your way. And I've seen so many of our young people do this. And I have more faith in our women because our women, you know, they hold on to it no matter where they go, you know. And I appreciate that about our people. But anyway, Philip, do you have anything?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think you're on to something there with talking about, you know, too many of the young that are trying to live the Wasichu way, the Wasichu society way. There's also too many that are out there trying to live the Pa'asapa way too. You know, taking these traditional songs, these sacred songs, and you know, adding them to hip hop and then rapping over it. You know, it's a desecration of the sacred, and they should be ashamed of themselves. You know, it's and you know, those that just a thought, those that have been on the path and then walked away, said it was too hard. And it's you know, I'll tell you what's hard, and they have no dedication, commitment to the people. You know, I have been director for this chapter here in Ohio for almost 21 years. I have lost girlfriends because of my commitment to this community. I've lost jobs because of my commitment to this community. You know, those are things that, you know, to me, the community and the people are more important. It's just the way I am, the way I'm designed, you know, the mental state that I'm in. You know, I've and I'm sure, you know, Grandfather Crow Dog wouldn't have children if, you know, he didn't have a woman in his life, you know, to pass these teachings down to. So that's kind of not an excuse either. I mean, it's what's going on with our youth is beyond me. It's puzzling. It's troubling. You know, we talk about going to ceremony, and you look, I'm not perfect myself. You know, I don't grab the chinupa every day like I should. It could be the reason why I'm going through some struggles right now. But, you know, I really appreciate it. I got to meet and talk to Grandfather Crow Dog one time at the AIM Sundance. And I didn't say a word. I just sat there and listened. And I was asked by somebody there, well, how come you didn't ask him any questions? I had no questions for him. He was answering everything that I was thinking about. So I just sat and listened. And I think a lot of times, like I said, it's the way I was built. When I was little, I used to want to hang around the adults all the time and just sit and listen. I would sit and listen because the way I was raised, my dad used to say, children should be seen and not heard. So I would just sit there, you know, and listen to what the grown-ups were talking about and listen to the stories. of, you know, when they were kids and how things were. And nobody's willing to sit and listen anymore. You know, it's I heard a phrase, you know, Creator gave us, you know, two eyes and two ears and one mouth, and that's so that we could see and listen more than we talk. So, you know, tonight I've had a great time just sitting and listening to everybody and learning, you know. It's and that's what we need a lot more of, I think. Just my humble opinion.
Well, you know, I listen a lot too, a lot of times. I go places just like you, and I don't say nothing. And, you know, because a lot of people are telling me everything I need to know, you know. And like Jennifer said, a lot of children, I learn a lot from children, younger people teach me stuff. And like she said, not every older person, somebody either, or wise or whatever. And she's right. You know, a lot of old people, I know a lot of old people that are raised in, like Washichi here, these Indians over here. And you can't tell them nothing, tribal leaders and this and that. You know, we got, Oglala Sioux tribe got $200 million. You know, if a wise old man was in charge of that, he'd help all the whole tribe out with that. You know, but they're not doing that. You know, the Shoshone Bannock tribe, they got some money from the American Rescue Plan, and they're giving each tribal member $2,000. But our tribes, you know, look at them. And we're Lakota, you know. And it's a shame, you know. Not all of us are living like Lakota, you know. Just because somebody has a big Lakota last name or brown as hell and a tribal leader or something, don't make that guy somebody special, because they haven't been living this way. The people I know, you know, my mother, my grandma, Crow Dog's father when I was a little boy. I mean, good thing I was born in 1950. I remember living on the river in Rosebud and knowing these old people. I remember knowing Dickie Moose Camp's mom, Auntie Esther, and all that. And I remember a lot of our families, you know, all across Oglala, Sichanku, and even, you know, Cheyenne River, all over. You know, we're all the same. Nowadays, you know, I was talking to a couple youngsters down Crow Dogs today. And one dude introduced himself, and then he introduced the guy with him, and the guy got mad. He said, "Hey, why are you telling everybody my name? Well, I don't like my name spread out." I looked at the young guy and said, "You know what? You're right. Don't tell nobody your name." I said, "In my day and age, I'm an old guy. It was good for us to know who we were talking to. Nobody kept themselves secret, you know. No, we didn't have no secrets." I said, "So if you don't want nobody to know you, you know, it's better to just get up and head the other way, you know." And I said, "I'm sorry you feel that way." But this young guy, he introduced you to me, you know, and I honor that, you know. If you introduce somebody to somebody, you should be honored. If you don't introduce somebody, you should be ashamed. Something's wrong. You know, if I don't introduce somebody to you, it's because I don't want him to know you. And if I don't want him to know you, it's because probably you're a pooch buddy. I don't want him to know you, you know. But you see how these young people think. And there's a lot of things going on because people, these young people, and even these older people got away from the culture. They got away. Instead of getting to know Grodon, they're over there talking bad about it. Even AIM people. I remember a few years ago, a bunch of AIM people were trying to get me to tell Grodon what to do. He's doing this and that. He's your uncle. You should tell him. You know, they're telling me I should tell him. And in my brain, I'm saying you should keep your mouth shut. You know? And one Lakota girl was on the show, and they were talking about Crow Dog, and they asked her. And she said, man, I ain't going against Crow Dog. You know, you guys don't even know nothing. You guys can only dream that you could know someone or have someone in your life as special as Crow Dog, as special as Blue Scroll, you know, or Jennifer's father, or all these people, you know. You guys don't have nobody in your life to give you this ability to have some class. You aren't around anybody to teach you some class, you know. That's what's wrong with you guys. You don't come tell me what I should tell Crow Dog. You know, I carry a chalupa. You know, I'm not going to tell Crow Dog how to carry his, you know. I mean, I might ask Crow Dog to come bless mine, you know, or, you know, support me, you know. I'm not going to go against them like the girl said, you know. But that's how these people are. They get mad because Crow Dog might have made that something whole or whatever in Texas. This guy has a cult on that. And some Grimes, Richard Grimes and his woman, they have a son that's in Texas, you know. They might have did all this, you know. But it ain't Crow Dog's fault. Crow Dog didn't tell him to have a son that. Just because they know him, they went off and did their own thing. So is Crow Dog supposed to go, you know, tell him what to do? You know, that ain't how it is. These guys are medicine men. You know, these people learn how to give opage and give offerings. You know, these medicine men, you give them offering. You know, give them opage. And that's the way it is. You know, and I call that medicine man abuse. But they do that to Crow Dog all the time. Dennis Banks did it, you know. He took Crow Dog all over with him, showed him off a lot of places just by giving Crow Dog a pocket. You know, people think Crow Dog went over there on his own. He didn't. People think he did this and that on his own. He didn't. But you have to know this way of life to understand it. If you're not a Lakota or something, you should be telling Lakotas how to live their life. I don't know Apache. I don't know other tribes. I don't tell them how to live. You know, I honor them. I like those Hopis. I like these Apaches. I've been in their sweats, these youths. I've been around them. I don't tell them how to do it. You know, I seen these Apache dancers. I seen a lot of them. And like Bimbo says, Bimber, having to have bloodline. He's right. If you're carrying a Lakota culture tradition and doing it Lakota way, spiritual way, you need to have some bloodline. You can't just be made up and passed like the Washichi does, pass the Bible to anybody. You know, it's bloodline. And even the bloodline people don't want to do it because they know how hard it is. But I can't go over and tell an Apache or Navajo or anybody how to do their thing. When I show up over there, I keep my mouth shut, just like you, Philip. I keep my mouth shut, and I support them, and I'm happy that that's what they're doing. But an extension of their altar, an extension of their teaching that goes someplace else, I'm not going to blame them for it. I'm not going to blame somebody over there that says he knows Geronimo personally. That's why he does this. Or, you know, like they do to us. They come meet us, like Steve McCullough and all of them. They go the other way and do their thing and say they got our support. They don't have our support. That's baloney. You know? Anybody could take a picture with me and go someplace else and show it off. It doesn't mean I support them. It doesn't mean I even like them. You know what I mean? So it's strange behavior we live with. But to be this way, like Jennifer has some children that are doing this, and they're learning this way, and they're already taking up an altar. And we have to support that, you know, and we have to pray for them. And we have to honor Jennifer for having children and being such an influence that she has children that walk this way. That's why I honor Russell Meads. I mean, every one of Russell Meads' kids that I know, Sundat, Kerry Chanupa, and when I seen them in ceremonies, Sundat, they do it hard and right. Now, some of these AIM leaders that I know, I don't see their children doing this, you know? You know, I don't see them leading the way. You know, I see them bullshitting. I don't see them leading the way. So what gives them the right to put down my people, Crow Dog or somebody out? You know, when they leave, no one's gonna know who the hell they are. You know, nobody's gonna wrap them up in a buffalo robe and honor them for 4 days. You know. Nobody's going to do that. So our people, we need to take a look at ourselves. And this radio show is the American Indian. You know, we support the American Indian movement. We have people in the American Indian movement. And Crow Dog Sundat flies the AIM flag. You know? And people don't know Crow Dog, AIMsters, and trying to put them down, you know. But yet, I seen a couple of these guys from Memorial Day put their military picture on their profile. Yeah, Memorial Day, I'm going to put on my Marine uniform, my Navy uniform, my this, you know. Well, you know, they sure change up quick. You know, the thing is, we are not Americans. I don't care how much you walk with American, you work with American, you talk English and don't know your own language. I don't care what you do, you're still one of us. And you have to live and acknowledge that. You can't hide from it all the time. Because in the end, going to come to you. And some of these guys I mentioned, now some guys got tired and dropped it and went the other way, but soon they'll be back, or they'll come back. You know, if they were taught right and they had any real teachings, they'll be back. You know, that's why it's important for us to give our children some knowledge, some gift. Because they're all going to get up and go one day. They're all going to get up and go check the world out. You know? Then when they come back, one day they're going to see they have no one to talk to. And that's when they're going to remember what we said. You don't need a church. You don't need a sweat lodge. You don't need all the bells and rings or whatever. When it happens, you've got a way to honor where you came from. You can pray. And if you're real serious and honest about it, you will be given privilege to talk directly, to walk on talk. You know, that's all we're saying. You know. I hope that people understand that. You know, it's not about, you know, we have to live this way. It's like this one strike. Passamaquoddy tribe.
They're
from. They bought one of their islands back. They bought an island back. They had to buy it back from the Washichi for how much? Like $449,000 they bought it, their island.
Yeah, don't you think that's a little pathetic that we have to buy our own land back? I mean,
yeah, because they ain't going to give it back. And look at, when we don't buy our land back, what happens? They sold scenic right out from underneath it to some Filipinos. They sold some more land, treaty land, to Vietnamese. They sold some more Indian land to Europeans, you know. Go up in the Black Hills and see who buys that land. And the Indians say, we shouldn't have to do that. Yeah, we shouldn't have to do it. But if we don't do it, you know. So I think the only way these people could get their land back was by buying. But since they bought it, you know, now they're going to have to pay taxes on their own land or what? You know, there's a lot of, you can't trust the Washichi to buy anything from you. And it is pathetic, you know. But it's a shame, you know. And
yeah,
we
talk about our sovereignty. I like the one thing that Dennis Banks said, you know, you want to be sovereign? And start living that way and start acting that way. You know, this American form of governance that a lot of the nations have now, their tribal council is, you know, and who was it that was on that was talking about, you know, what's going on with the Lakotas and nobody's listening to the elders because they don't talk to the elders. They ignore the elders because they went to school, they went to college, they know how to run things, and you know. And I think for some people, college makes them stupid.
You know,
for other people, it opens their eyes to things.
There were some elders that I just sit and listen to, like you. I didn't say nothing and listen to their whole conversation. And I was ashamed of them. They did have some wisdom in what they're talking about. They're talking about World War II, battle stories about World War II, Vietnam prisoner. I don't know if they're lying or what. Talking about how they fought for my freedom, talking how they fought for our freedom, talking about the good jobs they had, how they worked all their life for their money, you know, and living, you know, and then here they are, come back and get on tribal council and start preaching some of that, you know. But I listened to them. I didn't interrupt them. I didn't, you know, debate them. I let them talk because that's how they are. That's how they're going to be. lesson for me that if I'm going to talk to some young people, that I'm not going to start talking about how good of an American I am and how good of a how I fought for their freedom and all that, and talking about how I never committed a crime in my life. And I know they're lying. Everybody stole something from the store every day. Now that, you know, maybe somebody didn't, but you know, I know men. Everybody, you know, we're you know, one thing the Christians say is we're all sinners, and that is the truth. You know, in these modern times, we learn to be sinners. In these modern times, in the old days, in the old Lakota, our other tribal givings, we didn't commit sins. We made an error. It wasn't a sin. And we didn't do it again. You know? We had to rethink something and redo it. But we didn't, we weren't sinners. The Washichi wants you to believe everybody's a sinner. Well, we weren't raised that way. We were raised to know we made a mistake. It's not a sin. We made the wrong choice. That's not a sin. We didn't do something intentionally. We just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We walked into that door. We didn't know what was behind that door. You know? So should I say I committed a sin because I robbed banks? Should I say I committed a sin because I blasted some white boy? Should I call all these things I did sins? They're not sins. And I don't regret nothing I did. And I'm not ashamed of nothing because I went through that door. You know, unintentionally went into that door. I was, you know. And everybody happens to go through a door. We go through the door with relationships. Later on, you're not with them. Was that a sin? No, it wasn't a sin. Is everything we're doing when it don't work out, is it a sin? We don't make sins like the Washichi. You know, they make sins. They intentionally killed people. I was reading about a cop watching on YouTube. This cop was planting drugs on up to 200 people, but he got convicted for 13 people. He was planting drugs on them in Florida.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw
he
that.
Was just a he was just a he was just a. You know, he was just that kind of person. You know, what can he say? You know, his name is Zachary Wester. And I got tripping on that, so I watched all these videos of his trial and watched how he got on the stand and lied. That's a sinner. That's a sinner. He preyed on people that had bad jail record. So when in trial, they said, "Well, you were convicted one time for being dishonest." You know, all his victims had dishonest crimes in the past. So that's how he thought he was going to beat this. At the end of it, they gave him a racketeering crime for using the police department to commit these crimes. He was busting white people too. Poor white woman. You're going home to her with her granddaughter, you know, plant drugs on her. And it was all meth. He used the same, he didn't plant 1 pound of drugs on one and a half an ounce on. He was giving each one a gram. I mean, a little gram, just enough to bust them. He kept it in his car under the thing, and that's how they found it. And in a glove, he even had a ready-to-go deal to check the drugs. You put the drugs in there, and then you mix it, put a capsule in, break the capsule, and if it turns blue, it's meth. You know, he even had this prepared. That's a sinner. There's millions of them out there. That Chauvin guy who sat on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes, that's a sinner. They're saying, well, look at George Floyd pulled a gun on a pregnant woman before. There's no proof of that. There's proof he went to jail for robbery. But what does that got to do with laying on the ground? He's out free. And if he did pass a $20 bill, you know, that cop could have let him up, but he didn't. That's a sinner. You know?
Yeah.
People, you know, the Christianity wants to say everybody's a sinner. We all, you know, we all commit sins. I don't call what I did sins because I never did nothing to my own people. I didn't go looking for my own people to kill. I didn't travel around trying to even I get along with other tribal members from other tribes. You know, I got along with Mexicans. I got along with blacks. I get along with anybody. You know, I never committed no crime against my people. You know? And I didn't make no sins against my people, you know. And people try to say, oh, they carry the Chanupa wrong. Our Crow Dog's doing this. Our so-and-so's doing that. All these people talking crap. But when you see how they really live, how they are the ones, they don't have no leadership abilities because they put down their own leaders. They put down their own elders. I heard these guys say, he's not an elder, he's an older. You know? You know, I hear that too, some of these guys. They even came on this radio show. You know? And I told them, you know, you got to watch your mouth. You know, people, there's something we can learn from everybody, like Jennifer said, from our kids. I learn a lot from my kids. I learned a lot from my grandkids. Yeah, she's on.
Oh.
There. Jennifer.
Hello?
Yeah, she's there.
Okay. I had a vision, and I was being told that it's time for the healers and the medicine people to gather. I don't know what it meant. That's all the message was. So I wanted to pass that on to you. This took place during I was having some work done on my back, and I just had this voice in my head tell me it's time for the healers and the medicine people to gather together. Out of the blue.
Well, sometimes people get these visions and they get these messages, and sometimes we have to pay attention, you know. You need to, you know, if not everybody believes you, you know, then that's up to them what they want to believe and what they, you know. But we've been saying this for a long time, you know. occasions, these Lakota ones. But, you know, we always have issues, and I guess it's normal. But, you know, like one medicine man was, or he wasn't a medicine man, he's a pipe carrier. But people call him medicine man. There's a difference. He was saying these medicine men aren't doing it right. They're exploiting, they're taking money and this and that. He really put down Crow Dog and a whole bunch of people. Later on, this same person was in South Africa, ran off for $60,000. You know?
Wow.
But a couple years before, he was barking at Crow Dog and everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we ain't, one thing is this, we ain't dead yet.
Yeah.
People should keep that in mind. We're here. We ain't dead yet. We could still screw up good tomorrow. We still can turn into a Christian sinner tomorrow. But if you don't have that logic, you're not going to turn that way. And I ain't worried about it because I don't have that logic. I'd like to get $60,000. And I could think a lot of ways to get $60,000. And I could probably have it by the end of the week. I might have it by tomorrow night. But I would have to be a sinner. And I learned money's not the way of life for me. My happiness that I have is living from day to day and at least looking around and, you know, seeing my children, you know, and, you know, and look. And, yeah, one of my niece called me and said, or left me a text. She said, "You don't like me, huh?" You know why she said that? Because she calls me and wants me to call her back. I don't like texting. Texting is hard. My thumbs don't work that way. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't call people that often because you know how it is, Philip. What if I call up right when you want to get on the toilet? Or what if I call up right when you're going out the door to work and there's a wobbly holding you back? You know, these people don't think of what we're doing when they call. And for some reason, it's like somebody always calls right at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And if I call them back, I don't want to call them back when I have to hang up on them right away. I usually call people when I got some time that I can spend time with them. You know, I don't call somebody up to say, "Hey, give me $50," and then hang up. You know, I don't do that. You know, I'm gonna talk to you for a while and ask you for $50 after it's over. I'm gonna stay on the phone and work on that $50, you know. But you see, but for her to send me that message and tell me you don't like me, why I like you and I thought of you, you know, that's insulting me. Because, you know, suddenly someone pops in the world and wants me to start calling them up. I don't call nobody up, you know. My mother was the only one I would call up. Or my brother, Larry, I call him up, you know. And I know he's busy and he knows I'm busy. So when I call him, "Oh, how you doing, bro, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Yeah, 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 yeah. And, catch you later." We know it, you know. And but he's my older brother, you know. And he came on tonight. He was listening to us. Remember, said he called it. He was too good to us. The think that we got to be right in front of them, bowing down to them, and giving them every attention. You know, sometimes when you get our age, how much can you do that? You know,
yeah.
How much can you do that? And then half the time, your kids, the older ones, ain't got time for you. The only time they get a hold of you is when they want something, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't even hear from my oldest.
Yeah.
Hey, Dylan, why don't you come over? And, you know, I don't know what the, his work schedule is, just all over the place working for the steel mill. So it's like, well, it, you know, when they're available, maybe I can go see grandchild. But I've seen my grandson once, and I haven't heard from them. You know, they don't call me. Nothing. It's like, okay.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, that's how it is. Really, anyway, Jennifer, you got any last comments? Time is ticking. We're running down. And,
well, I appreciate you, Wombly, and the way that you speak as well, and God forbid anything happens to you, it'd be a great loss as well. Keeping people mindset on track of what it means to be an Amester, and the way that you think is valuable. And I learned from you, and I appreciate this opportunity to join in and say my two cents worth. Thank you.
Yeah, well, your two cents is a lot, you know. It's priceless, you know, your point of view. And you say really interesting things, and I want to touch on a lot of things you say, and I know what you mean, you know. I know what you mean. Every little delicate part of it, I know what you mean. And I could, because I was raised around a lot of aunties, a grandmother, and I have five sisters, you know. Women have their own special touch to life. And if we don't understand that, we don't try to grasp onto that, and we're troubled, you know. And I do know you. I know you're, I mean, I can't say I know everything much, but I know you enough to know that ever since I met you, you've been a good woman, a good representative of Lakota women. Never, you know, did I see anything else. And you also have a bloodline. You live your bloodline. Your children have this bloodline. And it's an honor to know that you have children that are going to carry on with this bloodline in a spiritual way. You know? I mean, you know, just like me, you know, I have a bloodline too. And with our Lakota culture, you know, and I have no intention, never had no intention to ever try to be a medicine man. But I support them. And I sang in their ceremonies for them. I helped them. You know, I helped Rick two dogs. 20 years, you know, or maybe not helped in 20 years, but I'll say a good 7-8 years of my life I spend at the ceremony, you know, every day, all the time we have, you know, and I learned so much from his mother, from my, you know, from my aunt, and I learned so much from this way. I learned enough to never want to do this because it's hard. It's a hard life. And a crow dog, even while he's in the hospital, there's people running up there asking him to bless their feather, bless this, bless that. People just don't know when to stop. They don't know when to give respect or nothing. They're so greedy. You know, what kind of person going to go up and ask a medicine man, I want to wear I want to be a chief. Can he make me a chief? What kind of person going to ask a medicine man to make you a chief? But they do that. What kind of medicine, what kind of person going to go up and say, oh, I want to be a Heoka. I want to be a Heoka. You know, Chrysler. All right, you're a Heoka. But really, you're not. You know? Because this way of life, medicine man, Heoka, or any sort of treatment, that's a hard life. You know, when you want to go out and have something happening and there's somebody comes up and says, we're having a ceremony. We need you to do this shuka today. You know, what do you do? Nah, man, I'm going to the concert. Sorry, I already got my ticket.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I never became a famous rock star, one of them. Maybe it's just because I'm a piece of shit in this. But I know one thing. I had offers to do stuff, you know, like play with the Cult in L.A. Coliseum, to play with Stevie Ray Vaughan in North Carolina. I had so many opportunities that I had to brush off because I had the sun mats. And this white man says, can't you sun mats next week? You know, can't you do that next week? You know, they don't understand it. So I lost credibility in that world because I might be going full steam and they ask me to do something, but it interferes with my spiritual journey. And I just say no. So go ahead, Philip. Any last?
Really, I don't have anything else. You know, it was a really good show. I appreciate Vember's prayer to open it up, and really good information and talking points tonight. You know, it's a great show as always.
Well, I appreciate that, too, and I'm glad Denver brought up about those kids that they found there because I wanted to talk about it, and he brought it up. And the other thing is, you know, tribal cops can bust Washichus or detain them or arrest. Now, you know, Washichus just come to the arrest doing anything. You know, there's no law. It's our land. Anyway, we're going to have to get ready to go. And I thank you, Philip and Jennifer, for hanging with me. And I know my brother's tuned in. Thank you, brother, for always being here and supporting me all my life. You know, my brother Larry, even when I was a baby, he was his older brother. And thank Rimber and all the angsters out there tuning in. All the spiritual people, thank you very much. Lila Wolfie, Natanka,
excuse me.
Go
breaking
ahead.
Breaking news. I just heard right now, it looks like that she just took his journey about 20 minutes ago. I don't know if it's true, but I just saw a post on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
little softer.
Don't try,
okay.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, a victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. Through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Hey, hey, hey.
You'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.